Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll be going down to verse 16. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, and that one and the same as if her head was shaved. For if the woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or be shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to not cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God. But a woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of angels. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of woman, nor a woman independent of man in the Lord. For as a woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. Judge for among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray with her head uncovered? Does not even nature teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it's glory to her, for her hair is given for it to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Remember, we've entered a new section in 1 Corinthians, chapters 11 through 14. Paul's going to be addressing disorder in Corinth's public assembly. And for us to really grasp, when we start talking about accountability and authority, we really have to grasp hold of, and I'm going to state this once again, verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ, that we would grab a hold of that and remember ultimately, you know, the song that we were just singing, you know, I want to walk in a manner that's worthy to you. And that's our goal, and that should be our heart, that the Lord gets the glory from the redemptive purpose in which He's instilled in us. At the end of the day, He's the one that's glorified. You know, He's the one that is magnified. Verse 3, we looked at it for 2 weeks, and we're going to look at it just briefly one more time. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Headship in the church and headship in the home. Remember, we're talking about order in this chapter, and order can be defined devoid of disruption and peaceful. When things are all kind of harum scarum, some of you may not know what that word is, but you've probably seen it before. It's disorderly. It's distracting. And the last thing that should ever take place within the Christian home, or even within as a body of believers, that things would be distracted from Christ. The word head is mentioned 3 times in this verse, and it was important to understand what Paul is getting at here with the word head. Some consider it to mean a source, like the head of a river. But what Paul is talking about is a place of inherent authority. The word head, in its full sense, has the idea of headship and authority. It means to have the appropriate, to be able to appropriate responsible to lead, be held accountable to lead, and it's right and appropriate to submit to someone who is our head. And that's what Paul's going to be getting at, verses 3 through 16. But understand, the thing that we focused on the most was that the head of Christ is God. Understand, Jesus in His redemptive ministry was subject to the Father, even though He was equal to the Father. And we need to remember that. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 5:8 says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham, I am. I'm God. And then in John 10:30, I am my Father are one. But remember, Jesus said this about Himself. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, that the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in a like manner. Remember, Jesus was submissive to the Lord, to the Father's redemptive plan. Jesus was subject to the Father, even though He was equal to the Father. Guys, we can't talk about the subject of submission without first broaching the subject of humility. In Philippians chapter 2, we've probably heard it so many times, maybe it's just become so familiar, that Christ said that He humbled Himself to the point of death. Humility, yes, Lord. You look in the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, Lord. Okay? So we looked at that, and I pray we grabbed a hold of that. So with this on our hearts, let's briefly once again apply how these things apply to us. Verse 3a, the head of every man is Christ. The head is the the head of woman is man. And remember, Paul is addressing order in the church at Corinth. As in, we will see, some folks were just doing disorderly things. Paul sought to resolve order by reminding the Corinthians that God made a difference between men and women, that each had a proper place in God's economy. Remember, Paul did not say or even hint that the difference meant one was unequal or inferior in any way. And I want to get that across, and let's grab a hold of that. Galatians 3:28 says, "Neither is the Jew nor the Greek, nor slave nor free, is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ." And we would understand that. I want to ask you a question. If you were Paul, you planted this church, the Lord used you to plant this church, and then you hear all these problems that were occurring within this body. Because as we just kind of unwrap this and unlook at this thing, I mean, what do you think is the worst situation, really, out of all the things that were going on? For me personally, is the way they approach the Lord's table. I would think that would be the first thing that I would have to try to iron out. I'm like, what are you doing showing up drunk? You've got to be kidding me. But what does he address first? He addressed what was going on in the home. And then he addressed what was going on in the church. In regards, let's look at the subject here. In regards of not acknowledging the fact that there was an authority there. So if he addressed that first, it must be pretty important. Because to me, I got to be honest with you, the thing that was probably more important to me is the way you had approached the Lord's table. Okay? And the way that the Lord laid it out for him to just kind of communicate to them. And we're going to look at what brought all this to head here in a minute. But to just grab a hold of, look at Christ as your example. He being equal with God, he submitted himself to the redemptive plan. And let's grab a hold of that. Remember, we're not talking one person being inferior and one person being... We're talking in Christ we're all one, but in God's order and the way he set the thing up is what Paul's going here. The head of every man is Christ, okay? And remember, we're under the authority of Jesus, man. And we need to be seeking his heart for our homes, his heart for our brides. And we need to take Christ's example and humble ourselves within our home. And here's the Lord's heart for our brides. Love them just as Christ loved the church. That is how we are to love them. And I know the only way that we can do that, men, is if we're walking close with the Lord. And it is if we're also going to be filled with the Holy Spirit to impress that upon, right? The head of woman is man. Ladies, remember, we're talking about God's order, his plan. We're not talking about one being equal or unequal and inferior in any way. Remember, we're all one in Christ. And my encouragement to you guys was to trust the Lord in this whole thing. The hardest thing for us to do, really, if you want to get down to the brass tacks of it, is to trust that the Lord would work in other people. That's why we do some of the things we do sometimes. That's why we think we have to hedge our bets here and have to do this and have to do that. Instead of just taking a step back and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this person. I'm going to trust you with this person. I'm going to trust that you're going to work in this person. And the best thing that I can do and the best position I can put myself in is that I would pray for this person. That I would be praying for this person. As my kids get older, I think that's probably going to be one of the biggest challenges that I will face as a parent, is trusting that the Lord's going to work in this person. Because you know what? I see some of the things that, and some of the decisions that they may be making, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's not a good decision. But trusting the Lord to work. Last thing to remember, the Lord has called us both male and female to be submissive to his plan, the way he set things up. But the submission the Lord is talking about is a willing submission. The kind of submission Christ displayed, and he willingly went to the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The submission he's talking about, you know, you can be physically in a place, but not really willing submissive in that place. It's kind of like Jonathan when we get him to pick up his room. Is it really that big of a deal to pick up those toys? I mean, you guys remember when you were parents and you tried to get your kids to pick up your room? Did you just not want them to just go ahead and do it and be joyful about it, but not, you know, saying, man, God, isn't that how we do Christ sometimes? Okay, I'll do it. Oh, dumb thing. I'll do it, though. That's not what the Lord's talking about. Look to Christ as the example. The joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. And should we not do the same in whatever role we have been called to play? Andrew Murray said this, "Believer, Study the humility of Jesus. This is the secret, the hidden root of thy redemption. Sink down into it deeper day by day. Believe with thy whole heart that this is Christ whom God has given thee. Even as His divine humility wrought the work for thee, will enter in to dwell and work within thee too, and make thee what the Father would have thee be. What an incredible opportunity. You know, we sing songs. I'm glad you played that song, Stephen. That's really one of my favorite. I want to walk in a manner that's worthy of the gospel that has been given to me. You would get the glory, Lord Jesus. So let's look at these head coverings and let's work through this, okay? You're thinking, what's all this mess, this head covering? Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered, okay, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head was shaved. For if the woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved. Let it be covered. Head covering. In Paul's day and in some places, the idea of a head covering is important. To wear a head covering was a public symbol of being under the protection and the authority of another. Clark said this about the head covering. It was a custom both among the Greeks and Romans and among Jews, an express law that no woman should be seen abroad without a veil. That is, it was common custom throughout all the East that none but public, I'm not even going to say the word, go without veils. Okay, and I'm going to leave that just open for interpretation. You can look that up later. So here's what was happening. This what brought this subject all the way to the head is certain ladies who were in this fellowship, who were saved, were celebrating their newfound freedom in Christ, but they were not acknowledging any authority. Okay? Let's get one thing. Let's understand one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ did more to elevate the position of ladies than anyone else. And we can go all the way back to Genesis, and you look how He set it up. That's a partnership. That is a partnership. And their culture at that point in time, unfortunately, they were treated like property. They did not have it very good. So these ladies get saved, and then all of a sudden, they're like, you know what? The shackles are off. And so they're showing up in these public assemblies, and they're kind of bucking the culture by not wearing these head coverings. So you know what happens? It's becoming a distraction. Because here's what do people do when they see something that's kind of out of the norm sometimes? What about the... And so Paul's addressing it. Now, this is what he says. Now, this is so far beyond us, is it not, to see people in head coverings and all this. But I think we can still take the example and apply it to us here today. So let's just kind of work through this very slowly. For the men, okay, if they would be wearing a head covering, Paul says you don't really have to wear that. But this is what he said. For the men would be saying, I'm not an authority here if they wore a head covering. I have no responsibility here. It would be dishonoring to Jesus. Remember what Jesus is the head. And for a man to say this with wearing a head covering, he'd be saying, you know what? I have no responsibility here. Okay? I'm just milquetoast guy. You know who milquetoast guy is? You don't want to marry milquetoast guy. Okay? He has no unction. He has no get up and go. He's like push a rope guy. You ever tried pushing a rope? You don't push a rope, right? That's what he would be saying, and he'd be dishonoring the Lord. Because the Lord said, I want you to understand, in the body of Christ, I've given you an incredible responsibility here. You're not to be passive about it. You're not to say, well, okay, I'm just going to kind of check out. And unfortunately, in our culture, is that not what we see with men most of the time? I'm just going to check out. You know, for me personally, you know, you guys know I didn't get married till a long time. No one was pushing me to go to church. The Lord got me in church. No one had to nag me. You know, the Lord worked in me to get me to where I'm going. But the same thing, I would see men whose wives had to henpeck them. And I don't want to use the word henpeck, but I did. And pushing and prodding them to go. Do you know what a drain, men, that is for a lady to have to do that? That's not what she's called to do. Never should she have to do that, because we're called to be the spiritual leaders within our home. And when a guy says, you know what, I'm just kind of checking out, it produces something in women, does it not? Well, you don't care? You don't care about the family? You don't care about me? And then you know what? It puts them in a position and then to do what? to be an authority within the home. And for some folks, that's what they have to do because they've been put in that position. It dishonors the Lord, man. Man, I really like being a dude. I'm not going to lie. I really do. You know, I don't have to do a whole lot to put myself together. And you're like, yeah, I'm aware of that. Okay? I don't have to nurse our child and get spit up on all the time. I like that. You know? I mean, I change our daughter's diaper. I change my son's diapers. I do a lot of different things. But there's some things I don't have to do. I like being a guy. And I'm glad that the Lord made me that way. And I pray, men, that you would enjoy being a man too, but also being a redeemed man who's called to be the spiritual leader within your home and within this body. And how are we to lead? With humility and love and grace. Okay, we went over that. For the women to pray without a head covering, they would be saying, I'm not under any authority here, and be dishonoring to Jesus as well as to her husband. Paul's not saying they cannot, okay, get this, not pray in church or prophesy, have a word from the Lord. He's just saying they need to respect the authority the Lord has set up. That's what he's saying. That's all he's saying. Now, here's the thing. I would never in my right mind go get in Alex's grill. Hey, Alex, I'm big man. You need to listen to me. That's dumb and disrespectful. That's not what Paul's saying. That's not what he's saying, that every woman's under this authority or whatever. No, what he's saying is he's just asking them to respect the authority that the Lord has put into place. That's all he's saying. You know, for a single lady to come here, we don't boss them around. That's not of the Lord. That doesn't even represent the Lord, does it? That's not what he's saying. But he is saying, we need to respect the authority that the Lord has set up. Now, let me ask you a question. We do this all the time. And do we have an issue? Do we respect cops? They're in a place of authority when they stop us. Do we go to Walmart and start ripping down stuff off the shelves and doing whatever we want in Walmart? We respect the authority in Walmart, the guy. Do we do that at Sonic? We respect the authority of the person at Sonic, probably, right? Or we don't get served our food. We respect authority all the time out in the culture. But let me ask you a question. In regards to maybe within the Christian home sometimes, or in regards to maybe within the body of Christ, do we not treat the authority sometimes, and I'm going to use this loosely, these people work very hard for the money, as a rent-a-cop? Oh, that's a security guard. I mean, what are you going to do? You going to find you got a loaded flashlight? I mean, really, seriously. I mean, imagine the abuse these people take, really. Think about it. Maybe that's why they overcompensate sometimes. Okay? Imagine that. How do you guys treat a security guard? Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll tuck my shirt in. You've got to be kidding me. Did you take a course for this? You're laughing because that's what you think. You've got to be kidding me. Paul Bart, mall cop. Here's my point. Why should the church be treated less, or in the Christian home should things be treated less? Ephesians 1, verse 6 through 7. To the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted and the beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins according to the richness of His grace. We have received everything. Okay, that's what I pray that we would get across. Friends, we can't treat the way the Lord sets things up as just kind of nonchalant. When we, you know what, we show more respect sometimes to the folks who are in authority at Walmart or Brookshire's. Let's don't treat the Lord like a rent-a-cop. Okay, let's don't do that. And I've been just as guilty, okay? I'll own it. I've been just as guilty as well. The ladies at Corinth who had the heart of, we don't have to wear a head covering, they were identifying themselves with the women of the world and the example Paul gives, the shaved head or shorn, are not good examples. You guys can look that up. I don't want to get into all that mess today. I just think it'd be distracting. But look it up in what they were saying in regards to the culture around them by not doing that. They're not good examples. Okay, verses 7 through 10. Why is it important to respect the principle of headship in the church and the home? Here's three reasons. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10 first. For a man indeed ought to not cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created from the woman, but the woman from the man. For the reason the woman ought to have a symbol of authority over her head is because of the angels. The first reason is because that's the way the Lord set it up. It's already been stated. We've already went over that. Let's don't go over it again. But the second reason is found in the order of creation. Read the account in Genesis. The Lord created Adam first and gave him responsibility. Guys, what an incredible responsibility if you're married here today, that the Lord would give us responsibility to take care of this precious bride. Proverbs says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I think everyone in here who is married has found a very good thing. Okay? What an incredible responsibility. Let's don't neglect it. Let's don't neglect it. The Lord would give us a bride to take care of. And guys, we needed help. We needed a helpmate. I didn't realize how much help I needed until I got married. Okay? Adam did not realize. He had no clue as he said, that's an aardvark, that's an elephant, that's a this, that's a that. Okay, go to sleep. You need some help. Whoa, man. Wow. Wow. What an incredible gift the way the Lord had set up. You know, who likes romance? I mean, come on. Yeah, ladies, and some of you dudes do, and you ladies back there do as well. I mean, you don't think the Lord has a romantic heart? When you think of Eve, understand something. That was exactly what Adam needed to the T. It was the exact same thing. And I guarantee you, all you guys in here that are married, you know what? You're like, that's exactly. I couldn't imagine being married to anyone else but Margaret. I really couldn't. She's exactly what I needed. That the Lord would give us a bride to take care of, to give us someone to help us along. Remember, guys, the Lord wants to give us the vision for our family. And it's such a beautiful thing that we're in a partnership and our wives help implement that. You know what? You look at the beauty within this church. It had nothing to do with me. You know what this place would look like if it was left up to me? Maybe some camo. Maybe some netting. Maybe all these chairs would be kind of a real tree or something, you know? Maybe that, but you know what? The Lord blessed us with a lady who's been given a gift to do some decorating. You know? And Tricia, did I have you under my thumb and say, no, you can't, no! I didn't do that. Well, what do you think about that? What color? Well, this would be a good color. Okay, well, that sounds good to me. Well, what do we think we need to put on? Well, it's beauty. What about our homes? You know what my house looked like? You're laughing. It was neat and it was tidy, but it was just a dude's place. A TV. That's it. A couch. A bed. That's it. There was no life there. All I did was go there and sleep and take a shower. But it was not a home. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was a clubhouse. It was a clubhouse. We get married and there's a whole new dynamic that takes place within our home. It becomes a home. You know what church would be like if there were no ladies involved whatsoever? It would be so incomplete. It would be so incomplete. It adds a whole new dimension to the body of Christ. The caregiving, the love. It's a beautiful thing. John Corson said this, and I think it's worth repeating this morning. The woman is the glory, literally the outshining of the reflection of a man. Husband, your wife, if your wife is out to lunch or off the wall, if you're disappointed in her, tired of her, down on her, or mad at her, guess what? She's simply reflecting you. That's it. It gives a whole new meaning, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, doesn't it? Guys, if we're not investing in our wives, we're resting. And then guess what? Our relationship will be at rest. It'll just kind of be like a ship dead in the water, not going anywhere. The Lord's given us this incredible gift of marriage. And you know what? He wants us to make the most of it. He wants us to make the most of it. Let's don't make the least of it by diminishing it and looking to the world as our example. Let's don't do that. Let's don't do that. Last reason. Now this is kind of interesting. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority over her head because of the angels. Because of the angels. I'm not going to make too much of this, but I want us to understand this. Public worship is a serious thing. Paul says that there's angels present. Think about that for a minute. You know, we neglect this whole other dimension that's going on around us sometimes. And some people make way too much of it. Okay, I'll put that out there. But let's not ignore the fact that there is. Paul says there's angels there looking at this thing and watching this thing and evaluating this thing. When we see angels worshiping the Lord in His kingdom, what are they doing? They're so serious about their worship, they're covering themselves up. Isaiah chapter 6, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. The whole focal point is the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? It's serious business. They're sitting here and they're watching and they're evaluating. But listen to what Peter said. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:12. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those things who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Do you know that they are just totally blown away by the Lord's redemptive plan? Think about what they see and what they experience on a regular basis. And they're looking at our services and they're just like, why on earth would you show up like that and be a distraction from the most important person in the room? It's serious. He's like, stop and think about what's going on here. Stop and think of what's the focal point to be here. Angels are blown away by what the Lord has poured upon your heart. And not only that, are angels not about order, because they've seen disorder within the heavenlies, haven't they? Because what did Satan do? He caused a rebellion. The head worship leader, right? So it's serious business. It's serious business. Public worship is so serious, angels are present, and we should conduct ourselves as if we were in heaven, says Warren Wiersbe. And we're just kind of nonchalant about it sometimes. Now, I'll tell you what, I did pray. One of my prayers this morning was that this would be such a place of intimacy, but also such a place of ease. That we would come here and we would enjoy and we would relax. But man, the focal point would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would make the most of this moment. Because the Lord created this moment for us this morning. He created it for us this morning. He ordained it this morning. To speak something to our hearts that may change the scope of our life forever. Forever. Verse 11 through 16. Let's keep these five verses simple and to the point. Verse 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as a woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are of the Lord. At the end of the day, we're in this together. Remember, it's a partnership. Paul says, nevertheless. Barclay said this. Listen to this. He says it so much better. Even after he has stressed the subordination of women, Paul goes on to stress even more directly the essential partnership of a man and woman. Neither can live without each other. If there is subordination, if the Lord put this thing there, it's so that the home could be more fulfilling. It's more fulfilling. Let me ask you a question. Before you got saved, those things that we thought we just had limitless boundaries on, were they very fulfilling? No. We got saved, and then all of a sudden, through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking His heart and seeking His mind, all of a sudden, those boundaries were safeguards. Man, why on earth would I want to go over there? Because I know the fruit that's produced from that. I found time and time and time again, when we would humble ourselves before the Lord in a willing submission because, you know what, I delight to do your will, O Lord. Does he not bless every time? Does he not bless every time? He never blesses when I, as a husband, get frustrated with my spouse or with my kids. He never blesses that. It's not representation of who he is. To make the most of these marriages, to make the most of these relationships, why don't we just decide to submit ourselves to the Father's plan and how he's ordered it and how he's put it together? You know what? I think it would change the scope and it would be dynamic and it would be way better than we ever thought it could possibly be. Because you know what? How hard is it to be in a relationship if it's just about competition? It's boring, isn't it? It's tiring, isn't it? What if we're on equal footing and there's equal respect? Is that not a beautiful thing? My wife tells me things all the time and I listen to her because she has a different heart on some issues and she sees differently. In the same turn, if I have to say, you know what, I don't think so. I don't think that this is what the Lord would want us to do. She's okay with that. But a lot of times, men, is it not in the manner we communicate it? Man, if you do this, not really going to work. Not going to work. You're going to get a reaction because they're created to respond. But what if you sit your wife down and say, honey, this is it. And here's the thing. If they know that we are seeking the Lord and we have been faithful in seeking the Lord, when we sit down and say, honey, this is it. I just don't have peace about this. They'll be okay with that. And if not, give them a little time. Give them time. I've seen it work time and time and time again. Ultimatums, do they really ever work? No. You don't. You guys have all seen the cartoon, right, with the caveman, the club. That doesn't work. That's not the way the Lord called us to do things. It's a partnership. The Lord said this through Paul to husbands and the wife. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, go about leadership the right way and watch the fruit grow. Wives, this is what Paul said. Verse 5:33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see she respects her husband. You know what your husband's number one need is? That you'd respect him. That's it. That's his number one need. He may not have communicated that, but I assure you it is. It's very, you know what I found? For the Lord to say you need to love your wife means to say, you know what, maybe I have a problem doing that. That's not natural to me to give that kind of nurturing love because I'm a guy. Okay? It's very natural for my wife to give a nurturing love to myself. But in the same sense, maybe it's a struggle for my wife to respect me. Maybe that's why Paul says, you know what? Yeah, you may be loving him and you may be taking care of him, but you know what? Do you respect him? Do you respect what he has to say? Do you respect him in front of the kids? Make it a lot easier, man, if we would give our wives something to respect, nevertheless, would it not? Lady, chances are you love your husbands, but do you respect him? Respect him and watch the fruit grow. Guys, this will work in God's time, I promise you, because it's not because it's in God's Word. It's in His Word. Verse 13 through 16. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Okay, we're talking culturally again. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it's the glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. He's going now, okay, just look at nature. Women naturally and culturally usually have long hair. Dudes naturally and culturally usually do not have long hair. Now here's the thing. This is the only time this is really mentioned in the Bible. Is it that big of a deal if a dude has long hair? I'm thinking it's not very practical. Okay? I grew my hair out once and I've got like real fine hair. Okay, and so I grew it out. That was going to be real cool, you know, and grow it out or whatever. And it flipped on the end like Pippi Longstocking. And so I would have to take mud. It's this gel type stuff. And put it in my hair, you know, and then comb it straight down and then have to, you know, do this or whatever. I went down to my dad's with his hair, and I'm like maybe 31, okay? You're thinking, you're really trying to rock that at that age? Well, yeah, I was. And I go down to my dad's, and I walk in the house, and he walks up to me and he says, "I just want to tell you to your face, your hair looks like blank." And and I just laughed because I was like, I didn't care. If I got that reaction from you and I'm annoying you, I'm okay with that. I'm going to rock this another 6 months. Later, he called and apologized. "Oh, you can wear your hair like ever you want to." "Oh, really? I'm not living under your house. I'm very aware of that." By nature, women normally have long hair. By nature, men normally have short hair. And, you know, plenty of folks have made topical studies on dudes having long hair. I mean, that's not what Paul's getting at. I want us to understand this. "But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God." In other words, argumentative, debating over this issue because it's such a small issue. Some guys really look good with long hair, by the way. They've got the good hair for it. I wouldn't encourage them to do that. You may not know this, and then I'm going to get back to the point. When Craig first got saved, he was a rocker from way back, okay? But he had hair down to about right here. And under here, it was completely shaved so it wouldn't bail out like it from the Adams family. Okay, but he's really got thick hair. And, you know, he would, you know, rocking out or whatever. But he grew out of it. Now he doesn't. But, you know, you get the point. Men with long hair, ladies with head coverings. What's important, okay, here's the deal. What's important is what's going on the inside. We can have short hair and be in rebellion, or we can have a head covering and be in rebellion, or if our head's uncovered, we can be in rebellion. Paul concludes by saying that the church ought to not make rules in connection with the matter of women's dress or hair. The really important issue is the inner man. Is the old nature which needs a haircut and a robe of righteousness. If we are clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, and if our nature is under the control of the Holy Spirit, that will take care of the other man. At that point, it's not an issue. You know, I don't really, for me personally, people that have, dudes that have long hair, it doesn't really fade me. It doesn't really fade me if I see some guy with sleeves on. That doesn't bother me. If I see a guy with an earring, that doesn't bother me. But you know what does really just grate on my nerves is arrogance. Because there's no need in it. Why? Why? What can we take home from these three studies? And this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Not what Jesus would do, but what did Jesus do? Paul said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Remember, Jesus, being equal with the Father, chose to be lovingly submissive to the Father's redemptive plan. That's what we need to take. And that cancels out whatever role that the Lord has called us to play in at that point in time. Because you know why? Because we're seeking Christ and we're seeking His heart. We're looking towards His example and going forward with that kind of heart. Humility always wins in the end. Always. Always. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Guys, the Lord has given us this incredible plan for the family. And all he's asking us to do is trust him with his plan. Trust him with his plan. If we can trust him with salvation, think about this. If we can trust him salvation, can we not trust him with the way he set the family unit up? I asked you a question before. What would you address first at Corinth? The thing that I would address first with looking at it would just be the disregard for the Lord's table. But think of this. Does church not start at home first? It starts there first. The Lord was very wise in instructing Paul, okay, we got to deal with this issue first. This is what we need to deal with. Okay? So let's worship the Lord. Let's enjoy the Lord. And dudes, if you want to grow your hair out long, you might be able to pull it off. Maybe. Your hair's pretty thick. Carl, you're not going to do it. Ladies, if you want to come here with head coverings, you know, okay, that's all well and good. You're really going to stand out on our culture. Well and good. You're really going to stand out on our culture. Well and good. You're really going to stand out on our culture. Well and good. You're really going to stand out on our culture. Well and good. You're really going to stand out on our